Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 31 through chapter 13, verse 8. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who is the embodiment and manifestation of our Heavenly Father's love for us, dear fellow redeemed. 35 years ago, Tina Turner sang it, "What's love got to do with it?" And the answer is everything. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of us using our spiritual gifts first to the glory of God and then for the welfare of others, especially those the children of God. But there's a danger that we do what God demands of us, but we do it without the proper motivation, without love. The congregation in Corinth was a congregation with many, many spiritual gifts. But unfortunately, some of those spiritual gifts were being used without love. Love, which is the essential ingredient to anything that we do. Does that ever happen to you? We serve the Lord as a pastor, Christian day school teacher, parent, voter, usher, church officer, cleaner in church, Sunday school teacher, organist. But do we always serve the Lord with the proper attitude? Do we always serve each other with that motivation of love? We need not look very far to see that the answer is no. Sometimes we're just simply going through the motions. Sometimes we're doing it because it's our duty. We're called to do it. And sometimes we do it because we want to be seen by others doing it. And so then it's out of pride or selfishness. If developing and using our gifts is to be pleasing to God, then it must be done out of love. Love has everything to do with it. Paul writes in our text, "And now I'll show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." No spiritual gift, no matter how great it may be, is worth anything if it's not combined with love. Others may benefit from our gifts, speaking the word of God to someone, counseling the bereaved, giving of our offerings, sharing our goods, but the one giving that spiritual gift gains nothing without love. Lack of love leads all of our works to be done then out of selfishness or pride. Paul says, even if we could prophesy like Isaiah, or preach like Peter did on Pentecost, or fathom on the mysteries of the word like the Apostle Paul, even if we could move mountains, all those accomplishments would be absolutely worthless, worth nothing, if it's done without love. Even supreme sacrifices are worth nothing without love, not inspired by love. In one grand sweep, I could give everything I own to the poor. Or you could let your body be sacrificed on fire as a martyr. Or we could help others, the poor, the downtrodden. If it was done not out of love, it'd be absolutely worthless. As most of you know, the word love here in chapter 13 is that word agape. It's the highest form of love there is. We're not talking here about romantic sexual love between husband and wife. We're not even talking about the kind of love that cares and is concerned, is sharing and loving to dear friends or even family members. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's a commitment. It's the kind of love that God has for us. The kind of love that the perfect Holy Father has for us sin-filled people, a world reeking with lust and hatred, with greed, with rebellion, blasphemy, a cesspool that smells to high heaven. We are sin-saturated. We're sin-cursed. Don't deserve any of God's love, and yet God still loves us. Even though he sees the ugliness of my love and the ugliness of your love, he sees that we're perverse. He says, I care about your eternal well-being so much, I'm going to condemn and damn my own son. That's how much I love you. Agape love, a commitment. He gave his only begotten son. This kind of love is not based upon fondness or affection or feelings or emotions or caring. It's the highest form of love that seeks the welfare of those who are utterly void of any kind of worthiness or kindness. Someone said, agape love is loving the unlovable. John tells us that this love in his epistle, chapter 4. Beloved, let us love agape one another. For love, agape, is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And then Paul explains to us what he means by this agape love. Some wonderful, amazing words to apply to each of our lives. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And from these words, we've joined as our theme this morning, love means giving, sharing, and forgiving. Again, Paul said, love is patient, love is kind, love is not self-seeking. Our first point, love means giving. Giving of ourselves to others. Agape love says that others are far more important to me than I am. And that's completely unnatural to how I or you think about ourselves. That's why agape love comes from above. It comes from God to us. It's not something that we can find within ourselves. Agape love means that we think of others more important, our spouse, our children, our parents, our fellow workers, our classmates, our neighbors, strangers, friends, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, even enemies, as being more important than we are. So Paul says, be patient. Patient means long suffering with others. We'll put up with their idiosyncrasies, with their differences, even with their faults. We'll be patient, meaning we bear up with the offenses of others. We'll be slow to be angry with others when they bug us. And love is kindness. It means performing friendly, useful, beneficial acts of service towards others. Love is not self-seeking. In agape love, we seek to please the other rather than have our own way, which again is completely contrary to our natural self. Again, Paul writes, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Agape love endures all the trials, all the troubles, all the tribulations of life. And it doesn't lose heart. It's constantly confident. It thinks the best of others, as the 8th commandment expects of us. Agape love can't fail, can't stop. That means that God's love then stops. So, love means giving. Secondly, love means sharing. Sharing means communicating with others. Yes, man, that means sharing your feelings, your emotions, your needs, your cares, your desires with each other. We'll be even more concerned for the emotional well-being of others, again, than ourselves, especially those who are closest to us. Paul again says it means not being rude or envious, not being boastful, not being proud. Agape love means not being easily angered, keeping no record of wrongs, not delighting in evil. By not doing these negative things, we show how respectful we are to each other. So love doesn't flare up every time our pride is hurt. Love doesn't keep score of all the bad things that our spouse did to us, or our children, or our friends, or our classmates, and then we got to pay them in return twice as much as they did to us. That's not love. Agape love is not based upon feelings or emotions which change every day. It's a commitment to action. And notice in this section, Paul is not describing some grand and grandiose thing to do. He's talking about us simply putting into practice, day by day, little by little, simple little things that we do for each other out of love. But, and there's always a but, knowing ourselves, we realize that it'd be great to love patiently. It'd be great to love without being angry. It'd be great to love without being self-seeking. It'd be great to not blow your top when you get really upset with somebody, or jump all over them because they've made us feel bad, or keep a record of all the wrongs that happened in our marriage or with our friends, and then think about how to get back at them. That's impossible. When we look at ourselves, we see that we are sinful through and through, just like every single person in this world. There'll be times when we'll be so self-pitied or self-absorbed that we will be rude, even to our loving ones. We'll be angry, upset. Our patience will grow wearily thin with someone, even those we care the most for. And that's where the third part of love comes in. Love means forgiving. Paul says, love rejoices with the truth. The truth of God's word is that Jesus Christ alone had the agape love that could love his Father perfectly, that could love each of us perfectly. He lived in perfect obedient love to all of his Father's commandments. He willingly took upon himself the cross, all our sins, paid for them in full. He was always kind and patient to others, even his enemies. He was never envious or boastful or greedy for anything. He never acted rudely to others. He was not easily angered. He kept no record of our wrongs. In fact, we're told that all of our wrongs, he's cast in the depths of the sea, and he remembers them no more. Isn't that an amazing thing? God, who's omniscient, knows everything, doesn't remember my sins or your sins. They're all removed, washed away. For Christ and his love never fails. Unfortunately, we fail every single day of our lives. We will hurt others, sometimes even very deeply. Sometimes we hurt the ones we love the most, the deepest. And that wound that we inflict, or that might be inflicted upon us, could be the start of a disastrous relationship with our spouse, or our parents, or our children, or our friends, without forgiving love. But when the forgiving love is applied to that wound that we have caused, or that was caused upon us, then that wound is healed, and our love grows, and the agape love takes over, and is forgiven, hopefully also forgotten, and love reigns. Jesus is both the example and the perfect substitute for all of us. In agape love, he gave himself as our substitute. In agape love, he shared everything with us, communicated his word and his love to us. In agape love, he earned forgiveness for us by his death upon the cross. And that forgiveness is now ours, and that agape love is ours through faith in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit lead us to bask in his love so that we then can reach out to each other in the same agape love as members of this congregation, brothers and sisters in Christ, to your classmates, fellow workers, and show agape love to them as Jesus loved us. By giving, by sharing, and forgiving. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our forgiving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.